Okay, we're looking at recognizing and utilizing helps ministries, and we spent a lot of time on how valuable the different gifts are to the body of Christ and how important helps ministry is, that no one's an island and no one can fulfill the ministry for which God's ordained you without help. I don't care what your position is, we all need someone helping us, you understand? And without going through all the review and all that, I just want us to look at the development of help ministry gifts, of helps ministry gifts. Just because you have a gift doesn't mean you're proficient in that gift. I don't care what it is. You know, God may call a person to preach, but his first message, he listens to us 20 years later, he'll think it's a disaster, you understand? That you learn by experience, it's on-the-job training, and we may make mistakes along the way. We learn from our mistakes. We don't let those devastate us and all that type thing. Obviously, the object is to do the best not to make mistakes, but understand that God understands that we're learning, and he's wanting us to apply ourselves. So all ministry gifts must be developed, and in the development, there takes a tremendous amount of understanding from the people that are working with you and patience, or people whom you're working with. You have to be patient. You know, you didn't arrive overnight, and other people aren't going to arrive overnight either. So we work with them, and we help them grow, and we encourage them along the way. And this thought just came to me, and I put it in your study guide. Ministry can be described as imperfect people working with imperfect people to reach imperfect people. Therefore, we must overlook faults and dwell on strengths. Now, I didn't say condone faults. I'm saying if a person makes a mistake and we're responsible for them, then we work with them. We point out things, not in a condescending way, but we do it because we're interested in their welfare, and that's not browbeating and telling them they're stupid and anything like that. It's just encouraging people along the way. You know, like I believe there's a better way to do it. Let me show you the better way. This type thing. Much of the developing process is going to involve trial and error, especially when there's not an expertise there, an expert to train in a particular area of ministry. Especially, you find this especially true in small ministries. You start a work, and you may start with four or five people. And, you know, as you grow, when you're four or five people, generally the leader of that's doing most everything. And in your small churches, you're what's commonly called a pastor, generally doing most of the work. And as you grow, and let's say you get a sound system and things like that, then you need someone helping you to do that. Or if you're recording, someone helping you to record. And when you're just starting out like that, you don't have professionals, you know, sitting in the audience or whatever. So what do? You learn together. And in a case like that, we have to convey what we're wanting. And then we work together to get that finished product. You understand? And so you have to be tolerable of things along the way. Thank God somebody was patient with me. You understand? And helped me along the way. And so I'm obligated to be patient with people and help them along the way as well. And so are you. Okay? And so it's we're people helping people, understanding that none of us are perfect. We serve a perfect Lord. And so we want to do the best we can to get everything right. And here again, It's called maturity. We grow in grace. But the key word there is grace. You understand? But we're growing. Thank God we're growing. Often helps ministries have no precedent set before them, so they learn as they minister. And I'm going to tell you this, that I felt like I've been thrown to the wolves, you know. When we first started in ministry, and I just did whatever needed to be done. It didn't matter what it was. Just digging a ditch or, fixing a toilet or whatever the deal was. We just did what we did and enjoyed doing it. You understand? And then one thing led to another thing, and finally the Lord dealt with me about going into ministry. And then when I left secular work to go into ministry, I traveled, not pastoring, not wanting to pastor, you understand? But just speaking at different places, and I was lying in the floor of my den at home and praying and talking to the Lord, and the Lord told me that I was going to interim pastor. And I started pleading my case with the Lord. I said, I don't know how to pastor. You understand? I mean, put me with somebody so I can learn. And he didn't buy into that, you understand? I mean, he's smarter than we are, believe it or not. And so I go in, and you're talking about somebody dumb as a wall. I mean, I go in, I don't know how to do anything, and that in itself is extremely scary. Because you're the one with all the responsibility, all the legal responsibility of all this. And so you have to learn the bookkeeping and the filing and all these other things because you don't have anybody doing it. And so you develop in these things. Thank God I'd had accounting. Enough to be dangerous, I guess, but enough to get us started and to get us on the right track. So did I make mistakes along the way? Of course we made mistakes along the way. But we learned from the mistakes we've made. Now, I used to beat myself up. You understand? I mean, nobody would beat me up as bad as I would because I did not want mistakes. But yet, here again, we're not perfect. We haven't arrived yet. And so the Lord has dealt with us through the years. We still haven't arrived, you understand? But thank God we've learned things along the way, and we've learned, how to do things differently. But when you're in that small stage, it puts a lot of demands on you. And so the Lord told me that He did not want me to pattern after any other church or ministry. So it's not like you can go down the block and talk to somebody. The Lord wanted me to talk to the Lord and to do it His way. And then, you know what happens when you do that? Nobody understands. And then you get accused of being a control freak. You understand where I'm coming from? And I've learned this along the way. If you obey God, you will be criticized. You take that to the bank. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it because most of the people you deal with are carnal people. Most churches are run carnally. They're not run by the Spirit of God. People don't pray and get direction from God. They go talk to somebody or they go to some church growth seminar or they read some book and then they try to pattern after someone else who is not patterned after the Spirit of God. Jesus said He would build His church, not me. And so if He's going to build it, I'm going to have to talk to the builder and find out what the builder wants to do so the church is built the way the builder wants it built. You understand? And we do that in every area of ministry. Not just a senior minister or an associate minister, but helps minister everything. And I'm going to talk to you about this here in a few minutes. But we must learn to go to the Lord, whatever your gift, whatever your ability, Don't think that you have that thing perfected, because you don't. Ask God how He wants it used. Ask God how to implement the gifts and abilities that God's given you to where God is glorified, where the kingdom of God is forwarded as a result of that. We're not interested in just spinning our wheels in some little religious arena that never accomplish anything for God. And I promise you that most churches don't accomplish a lot for the kingdom of God. They're focused on themselves and what they can accumulate, the crowds they can get, the money they can get, and this type thing, with no, very little to no thought on eternity. And all ministry should have an eternal mindset. It's not just what I'm doing now. How will it affect eternity? You understand? And if we're just looking for, if I want to preach because it just gives me a thrill, then I missed it. And a lot of people preach out of ego. And there should be the fear of God that grips your heart, because now you're held accountable for people whom God sent your way, and you'd better be giving them the message of God, not yours. And when you're doing something for God, whatever we do in word or deed, we do in the name of the Lord. Now, don't take His name in vain. Make sure you're doing it for the Lord. And if you're doing it for the Lord, you're motivated by the Spirit of God, it's going to be right. But we've done a lot of wrong things along the way because we didn't listen to the Spirit. We followed the flesh. We tried to reason things out. Over the years, God has spoken to me about doing things in the church that would absolutely defy reason. And you tell yourself, I would have to be an idiot to do that. But you go on and plead ignorant and do what God told you to do and let the people call you an idiot and God say, well done. You with me? And believe me, I could write you some material, but I could probably write a book on that type of stuff, but I choose not to. I just look at it as experience of learning how to listen to God and looking at God's track record. God has an impeccable track record. He's never made a mistake. The people did by not obeying, but God didn't. And I'd rather be on His side. You with me? I'm not trying to get God to come on my side. I want to find out where God is and go where He is. You with me? And that's what you have to learn to do in any type of ministry that you're in. And stay away from intimidation and criticism. It's going to hinder development. Do you want to be criticized? How many of you like to be intimidated? Nobody. No one likes to be criticized, so then don't do it. If you don't want it done to you, then don't do it to others. When we're helping people develop in ministry, whatever their gifting is, then let's work with them, not make them feel like an idiot because they made a mistake. You with me? I'll tell you what the motivating factor is behind this. It's a word called love. You understand? God loves me enough, He works with me. He helps me. He corrects me. We have to learn, we have to love people enough that we work with them. We help them. And if there's a correction needed, we do the correction, but the correction's for their benefit, not because of our frustration. Don't get too excited. Every helps ministry gift must understand protocol. I think, and I've seen this, a problem area in a church can be volunteers. If a person volunteers for something, that's good. But make sure there are parameters set as to what they're doing and that they know that they're not running the show. Because you can get a lot of contention in the camp. And people will overstep their boundaries And God has not gifted anybody to be boss. He retains that right to himself, and he doesn't boss. He invites. He encourages. You understand? He gives instruction. And we have to learn to do the same thing. It's extremely important for HELPS ministries to understand the parameters of responsibility and the parameters of authority. I don't care what area you have in the church, whether it's a staff, if it's a volunteer staff or paid staff, whatever, everyone must know parameters of where they're to operate, where their authority starts and stops, and who they're accountable to. And ultimately, we're all accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church. You with me? So we're developing. You understand? I am developing. You are developing. So we work together and we encourage one another along the way. Right? Because what we have was given to us for the purpose of using it. God did not equip anybody with any gift for them to sit on or for them to use that gift for their own advantage. If God has gifted us, and He has, it's for the benefit of the kingdom of God. So we're to use it for whatever giftings we have for the glory of God. Okay? So just to summarize all this, the purpose of HELPS is to assist other ministries in accomplishing their goals and fulfilling their purpose. We help people accomplish their goals. I'll give you an example. It's just like recording our classes. And thank God for McCoy. So we want to record the classes, and I'll say, you know, Michaela, we'd like to record the class, and when we get into this area, don't tape that. And Michaela says, I don't care what he says, I'm going to tape it anyway. And see, some things you don't want. She's never done that. She's too sweet, okay? No, the bottom line is there's some things that when you discuss, there needs to be an interaction or there can be a misunderstanding. And so you don't want to record things to where there's a danger of being misunderstood. Okay? So that's why we do some things like that. But I don't think about the recording. I just look to her when to start and look to her when to stop, and then I'm just trusting that she's going to do what's right. It's a ministry. You understand? I'm standing here as a minister. She's sitting there as a minister. So which is better? So that's what we have to get out of that mentality. It's not a better ministry. It's that both are vital in order to do what God's called us to do. You follow me? No big eyes, little U's, that type thing. It's we're all working together to accomplish something. But I've tried teaching and recording at the same time. Now, keep your train of thought while you're trying to watch the tape and all that type stuff. It's a major distraction. And we worked through some things when we first started out. We had to do it because there was nobody to do it. But thank God I don't have to go back there and punch a button now. Appreciate those who help you. You understand? Appreciate it. And learn to work with people and you help them. If she has a problem, then I'm going to do everything I can to help her get that problem resolved. I'm not going to get on to her because maybe there's something she don't know. Something's going to arise. Something's not recording like it's supposed to record, you know, whatever. Then we're going to work this thing out together. We're not going to get mad at one another and have contention. You with me? There has to be a unity and a harmony with the HELPS ministry. When properly executed, HELPS ministry eased the burden and stress of ministries because they can't accomplish their goal without adequate help. It takes a lot off of you when you don't even have to think about it. You understand? But if you're constantly having to think, and you know, I've worked through a lot of things over the years where the sound's not right, you know, the recording's not right, and you're trying to stay focused and knowing that God's told you to record it and knowing it's going to be horrible quality. And I detest that stuff. If we're going to do something for the Lord, do it with excellence. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Don't sloth off. Don't just try to get by. It's not how little can I get by with. Is I want to give it my best shot, and I expect other people to give it their best shot. You understand? And you know, back in second work, I had some guys that were Christians, some guys that were heathen. I told the Christians, I said, you should be the best employees here. But the best employee I had was a heathen. You understand? Come Friday, get drunk, going to be in jail on the weekend. But he'd get bailed out, and he'd be there Monday morning, and he would do his job. Well, thank God he got saved. But Christians should be the best. And the worst employees I ever had is the guys that was living by faith. Living by faith is not lazy, sorry. And I better stop right there because I could get on a roll with that. That's not living by faith. That's stupidity. You understand? Living by faith is trusting God. And if you trust in God, do what God's told you to do. And if you're hired to do a job, then do the job. You're getting paid for it. You're not getting paid for doing nothing. I better move on. I've had some experiences over the years. Just as other ministers need the ministry of helps to accomplish their goals, helps ministry needs ministers to work with in order to fulfill their purpose. You can't have an associate minister if you don't have a senior minister. Right? And so we need one another, and we all need to understand that. From the top down, from the bottom up, we need to understand that we need one another. And I'll go one better than that. God needs you. The only way the ministry of Jesus can be fulfilled in earth today is through people. It's called the body of Christ. That's why we're called the body of Christ. Acts 1 says all that Jesus began to do and teach in the body of Christ is to continue to do and teach what Jesus started. Aren't you glad somebody did that so you could get saved? So you could get enlightened? So you could understand things about the kingdom of God? Well, we owe that to other people as well. And if you're in a position of leadership, just understand that observation precedes recognition. We're talking about know the gifts. So you observe individuals in order to see the value and abilities of the people. When a person, you first introduce to a person, then you pay attention and you listen to the Spirit of God. And I can't overemphasize that last part. Listen to the Spirit of God. I have seen people with great abilities, but God says no, because they also had great pride to go with their ability. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. I was thinking about something today. You know, we went into a church and everything was awry, a mess, and all this. And you know, it was in a democratic government, and I was praying and asking God who should be here and who should be there, and the Lord was speaking to me about who to put where, and then when it came to the position of treasurer, the Lord spoke a name to me. And my thought, that wasn't God. I guarantee you that wasn't God. That couldn't be God. because I know some stuff. And so I didn't pay any attention to it. And I kept praying. Day after day, I kept praying about that position. And every time, God would bring that person's name to me. And finally, I just went ahead and consented to put that person's name up, knowing that people were going to criticize me for doing that. And anyway, we did, and this person went into that position as treasurer. And boy, did I get a lot of flack over that. But you know what? That person was the best treasurer we ever had. Now, here was the thing. That person had made some mistakes in his or her life. And God's a forgiving God. And God was wanting me to work with that person, to teach that person, so that person would overcome some of the failures that they'd had previously. And believe it or not, it worked. Because God doesn't make mistakes. And so often we want to resist God because it doesn't appeal to the intellect. It doesn't appeal to reason. You've got to be kidding me. You're telling me to have them to do this and they can't even walk and chew chewing gum at the same time, you know. Lord, that's what I'm saying. And so then you have to make the decision. Will I lay my self life down so the life of God can be exemplified? And that's what we have to learn to do, regardless of what ministry gift we have. So we observe, and then we talk to God about it. It's easier to put a person in a position than it is to get them out of it. Now take my counsel on this. Get the mind of God before you put them there. Or it's going to cause you some problems. I'll tell you that straight up. It'll cause you some problems. So talk to the Lord about it. And then if somebody thinks that they're getting looked passed over or whatever, then you just tell them, listen, I've prayed about this, and I can't violate my conscience. I cannot in good conscience do this because I would be disobeying God. And I hope you understand that. And if they can't understand that, believe me, they have a spiritual problem. That tells me they're not thinking about God. They're self-centered. They're not wanting what God wants. They want what they want. And we have to get a heart to the Lord where we want what God wants. And God's going to put people in various areas so that the whole ministry can be productive and it'll benefit all concerned. You understand? God's not robbing one to pay another. It doesn't work that way. But we work together, we produce, we encourage one another. You with me? And we get the job done when everybody gets in the position they're supposed to be in. Once a gift is recognized and properly indoctrinated in the parameters of use, then utilize the gift. Don't wait for a gift to be perfect. I think about, you know, just I go back to myself. You know, I'm still working secular work, and I'm going to church. I don't have any aspirations of going in ministry, but the pastor saw something I didn't see. And so he would ask me to teach this class or do this. And then one thing led to another to where he might ask me to take a service if he was going to be gone, like a Wednesday night service or something. Not a Sunday morning service, a Wednesday service. And what he's doing is working me into some things while he observes. You with me? In other words, you prove yourself. You have to be faithful in little. And as you're faithful here, then promotion comes from God, not men. and never look to people to put you in positions of authority. You don't want to be there if God doesn't want you there. You just think you do. You don't even know what you're asking for. It's just, you're just asking for hurt and trouble to be out of position, because it's going to do damage to the body of Christ. All ministry gifts have to be developed. And development requires patience and understanding, doesn't it? I could ask, is anyone in here, are you fully mature? Have you arrived? You're proficient and don't need any help anymore? See, this is the problem. A lot of people think they don't need God anymore. Well, I've got here and I've got there, so I know how to study and I know how to write an outline and I know how to do this and I've learned the ropes and I know how to conduct the service, and so I know what I want to preach, so I'm just going to get up and do my thing and, you know, and expect God to put His stamp of approval on it. God approves what He initiates. Don't ever expect Him to approve anything that He didn't initiate. That's why we need the mind of the Lord in every service that we go into. In everything you do, get the mind of the Lord. Okay? All ministry gifts come from God. But people who have the gifts must develop the gifts that came from God. And you know how you develop gifts? Through practice. When you see a need, meet the need. Whether it's home, the neighborhood, or out in the community, or at work, wherever it is, you see the need, meet the need if you have the ability to do it. And the more you do this, the more proficient you become in it, the more developed you become, and your gift will make room for you. You never make room for your gift. Follow me? Leaders must be very observant, otherwise they won't recognize what is often hidden gifts that should be encouraged and developed. You know, it's amazing to me how many people think they don't have anything to offer. And God never sent a dud to earth. You with me? Everybody has something to offer, but you have to recognize the fact that you do have something to offer. And if you don't recognize it, then you're probably not going to be offering anything. Right? And that's where a lot of people are. So we try to help people and encourage them to start doing things for the Lord. Small things. And then just see where that leads you. Without help, helps ministry gifts, the church or any ministry cannot fulfill its mission. It's an impossibility. I want you to think about this. Did Jesus have help? He surrounded Himself. He had 12 apostles. They're there to help Him, right? But think about the women who provided material things for them. They're not overlooked. How about Paul? Did Paul have anybody helping him? If you'll notice, Paul always traveled with a team, not by himself. And he talks about how different ones had ministered to him and helped him. What would he have accomplished in prison if he didn't have someone supplying needs to him in prison? You understand, it took what we would call pen and paper to write letters. And somebody has to get those letters out. And he's not in there because the civil society or the religious society really likes him. He's there because they don't like him. So he has to get people of like faith to help him. And so do we. And so we will cooperate with one another. And a good leader will appreciate those who surround him or her with the necessary assistance needed for the success of any ministry, organization, or church. Appreciate the people who work with you. Love them. Pray for them. You understand? What would I pray for? Pray for their success. Pray that they, the eyes of their understanding are open to where they're filled with the knowledge of the will of God, to where they're enabled to do what God's called them to do. Don't pray a selfish prayer, but pray for their benefit. And if they excel and God wants to promote them into a ministry of their own, help them. Don't get mad at them or jealous of them. Okay? What may seem insignificant to the casual observer may be vital to the overall operation and success of a church or organization. Never demean any gift. Never compare one gift to another gift. That is so foolish. I mean, if you have four preachers preaching, don't compare them. Glean from what they're saying. Listen to, you're supposed to be listening for God. Whoever's doing the speaking, listen for God. And if they haven't got anything to say from God, then just talk to God yourself. But don't criticize. Just protect your own heart, guard your own heart. My daddy used to say, a blind hog will root up an acorn every once in a while. They may not be hearing God, but they may just hit something. Just glean the truth out of it, okay? Some of you may understand what that means. We must endeavor to utilize all the gifts that God's made available to us. I want to see every one of you active for the kingdom of God. In whatever role God wants you to be in, wherever He wants you to be, and I'm talking about geographical location, whatever church or ministry He wants you to be in, be where God wants you. And don't let tradition and all these other things hold you in a place that God doesn't want you to be, or don't let that lead you to a place that God doesn't want you to be. Get the mind of the Lord and bloom where He plants you. You understand? Just blossom out for the Lord. Well, I'm not through, but I'm going to stop because the time's up, so we'll take a break and have a few more things I want to say before we close this study out. Amen.